There was a request among the guys. We gave a choice of studying some Hilchos Shabbos on Thursdays or to study some of the Halachos of Basar B'Cholav. And by popular demand or request, so it was decided that we should do some of the Halachos of Basar B'Cholav. One of the reasons for Basar B'Cholav is because questions come up in the kitchens all the time. And one of the weird realities about the way Judaism works today is that the women tend to know a lot more about keeping kosher than the guys do. That's just the way the world developed, which is really not such a great thing. Like the halachos of kashrus are incumbent on men and women equally, and we need to know these dinim. Also, what tends to happen is that Basar B'Cholav is only studied for smicha students, and as a result, regular guys in yeshiva don't really cover the dinim. And that also is a serious problem. Obviously, you know, a Rav has to know more than the average Joe, but the average Joe also needs, just like in Hilchos Shabbos, everyone keeps Shabbos, so presumably everyone's keeping kosher, so we need to know the dinim.
But, like, you're not making food as long as you know...
Right, so if you're not making food, so it's less of an issue, but the goal is at some point in life you will be making food.
So you can buy all those nice short kosher kitchen books that have those, like...
So you could. The problem when you take out... It's like, if you ever try to understand baseball by reading the baseball rule book, you don't get anywhere.
No, it's like, right? they have designed for, like, college food writers.
Yeah. Yeah, so there is a book called Dira Days, which is out there, which is designed for guys, particularly in the Mir Yeshiva, who have... You ever saw this book? Right, so that's like a real guy's specialty. In other words, the book says something like this. This is a real live case. We have an iron that we use to make grilled cheese sandwiches. Mistakenly, we took that iron and we made a hamburger with it. What's the din? Okay, so first of all, you're idiots. Right? Second of all, we gotta understand the din. Like, what happens when I...
That's
genius.
What? That's genius.
It's brilliant, right? It's warped. It's not genius, it's warped.
That's what we
would have
done.
Okay, so another case, again, we'll talk about some of these yeshiva guy cases. Another yeshiva guy case I really like is like this. Somebody says that we have an old pair of glasses around our apartment. We use one side to stir coffee, and the other side we use for fleishik things. We forgot which side is which. Now, again... What?
Get a new pair of glasses.
Buy a spoon! Right? How expensive is a stinking spoon?
Right,
tachlis. Yeah, so this happens in real life. So we will be learning, like, today, or I don't know, today as much, today will be a bit of an introduction, but we will be learning kashrus for yeshiva bachur kitchens, right? Which is much more complicated than kashrus for normal humans. Yeah.
One of the guys in the dorms in KBY, I think, quite popped that you have to have separate sinks. So they end up having a fleishik shower and milkic sink.
Okay.
And also, I have to say, walking in on Thursday night, when people were making Thursday night chulin, I walked in several times and was able to tell them why it was true.
Right, so this is a big... So yeshiva guys, maybe it's because we study Bava Metzia too much, and we might know a little bit about Chen Veni Al Pinkaso, but we're not going to know not to mix milk and meat. So I think yeshiva is officially learning Chulin 3 years from now. I think next year is Shabbos.
Learn it next year. This is what I've been saying the entire time. We should learn practical things.
So I'm not disagreeing with you, but we're going to try to learn some practical things today.
Huh? Can we switch perspectives?
No.
No.
Yes.
Not today.
Okay,
gentlemen. So let's try to. So the first din in Hilchos Basar B'Cholav. This is Yerideya Simon Pei Zayin Seif Aleph. The Mechaber Rabbi Yosef Caro writes as follows: Rabbi Yosef Caro died in 1576. Right. Rabbi Yosef Caro writes. Kasev Batorah, Lo tivasho gidi b'chaliv imo. Gimel pa'amim. The Torah has it in Shmos Chaf Gimel. That's in Parshas Mishpatim. It has in Parshas Kisisa. It has in Parshas Re'e. The Torah says three times, Lo tivasho gidi b'chaliv imo. Don't cook milk with meat. Right? The Torah speaks about gidi, but the Gemara says any type of meat is included, at least any type of animal meat. Right? And it says it three times. Why does it say it three times? Echad l'iser bishol, echad l'iser achila, ve'echad l'iser hana'a. Right? So the three times tell me that there are three separate isurim with basar b'chalav. Right? There's an iser to cook it together, and that's going to be our main focus today. The iser to cook it. There's an iser to eat it. Right? The iser to eat it we're more familiar with, that we don't eat milk and meat together, no? And then there's also an iser hana'a, which means I can't derive benefit from basar b'chalav. And the poskim say that deriving benefit means I can't, if I have some basar b'chalav, I can't give it to my goyish neighbor as a gift, no? Because then I'm deriving benefit from it. If I give it to my goyish neighbor, so my goyish neighbor is going to be happy with the gift, he's going to be happy with me, he'll like me, right? That's an iser, because I'm deriving benefit.
Or smelling.
Huh?
Smelling it also.
Smelling could be, whether it's considered hana'a is a question. The Gemara Pesachim says that kol mara and reyach, there's no me'ila, right? So it could be that for purposes of hekdesh, it's not considered hana'a, whether that means it's not considered hana'a at all or not, and whether it's even mutar l'chatchila or not, is a whole sugya there in Pesachim. But there are other things in benefit which are, right? For example, one question that comes up in benefit is, am I allowed to own stock in McDonald's? No?
Wait, are you even allowed to buy soda
at
McDonald's?
Yeah, why not?
What's the problem? But if I own, right, if I go, like, the Coca-Cola is kosher Coke, I have to admit, like, my kids think it's very funny, like, when we go on trips during the summer, so we always inevitably end up stopping off in some McDonald's somewhere. That's just the tradition. Why? Because, like, some kid always needs the bathroom at some point, and, you know, you feel bad just going into a bathroom, so you also buy sodas, right? So sodas at McDonald's are kosher, right? Is there a Maris Ayin issue of going into McDonald's to buy soda? I don't think so, because everybody knows that McDonald's also sells soda. Right? I don't think there's a concern of Maris Ayin. Yeah.
No, you know, what should be benefit? Like, my question is, I know it's a lot, but why would that? Because what should you be benefiting from?
So I'm not benefiting from the basar b'chalav. I'm benefiting from the Coca-Cola. But if I own stock in McDonald's, that's a different situation, though, because when I own stock in McDonald's, so what happens is I am getting profit, money, Geld is gut, as they say, right? And I get money from the cheeseburgers, right? How do I earn my money when I own McDonald's stock? Right? When the sign goes from 1 trillion to 1.3 trillion, you know, on every McDonald's, about the number of cheeseburgers sold, right? That means I'm earning more money. So I'm earning money from cheeseburger. A cheeseburger is basar b'chalav. So we'll have to talk about whether there's an iser hana'a in that sense. We'll also discuss a related issue. Okay, yeah, let me take a few questions. Nadav and Jonah.
But that's, like, so different, because normally benefit is defined as, like, what you have and using it for something. But here, you don't own the bus at all. You're not using it for something. People are just doing business, and that just happens to be their business.
But how, when I own stock and the stock goes up, I get benefit because now, instead of it being worth $16 a share, it's worth $18 a share, right? So isn't that benefit coming from the cheeseburger? Now, one could argue, and I don't know if this is... What?
It also suffers whether you're going to make money or not. Is that a factor?
Let's say it earns money, right? If it loses money, and a hanami, I didn't earn any benefit, given. But you're allowed to lose money in Judaism. It's not recommended, but it's permitted. Right? But if I earn money, so then I have to question. There is a nice article, by the way, in the RJJ Journal, in the Journal of Halacha and Contemporary Society, about owning stock in McDonald's. We'll today try to give a twist on this. I'm here from Jonah and from Avi.
I thought it was
different with Trafit. Oh, okay. So one issue could be that there's no basar b'chalav because it's non-kosher meat. We'll have to discuss in terms of what non-kosher meat means. Non-kosher meat from horse meat, there's definitely no basar b'chalav. Non-kosher meat from a cow that's not geshachtin is more of a question.
But isn't there also an issue, because logically speaking, I think research just shows that McDonald's today for Mi'achai, the way they shaft it, does that make any difference?
I don't think it makes it better.
I mean, aren't they all over their races?
don't know. I mean, again, we'd have to deal with these. These are difficult questions that we'd have to deal with in terms of like einus or chala isser, etc. We'll talk about that later on as we move on.
What does he mean?
But I think you're arguing that they have the pita people are evil. Again, for a whole host of reasons, but people pita stands for people for the ethical treatment of animals.
People eat tasty animals.
What?
People eat?
People
for eating tasty animals is the proper name.
People eat?
People for eating tasty animals.
Oh. Okay, that's not what they're saying. But PETA has like these videos. Again, the whole reason why Rubashkin's went under is because it began by some PETA video that was taken that they saw the cow walking around after the Shechita. In non-kosher slaughterhouses, this is more standard. What was the name of Upton Sinclair or somebody? The one who...
Jungle.
What? The jungle, right? So, again, you know, it hasn't improved that much in terms of if you go to a slaughterhouse and you see what's going on, Mamish Ken Min Brechen, you could... That literally means we can throw up. It's disgusting, right? The way done kosher slaughter is better than non-kosher, but anything done on an industrial level is really like...
No, but
yeah,
kosher slaughter looks worse. That's
what?
Yeah, kosher slaughter looks worse.
It looks worse? I don't know. It's not...
A lot more blood.
In non-kosher slaughterhouses, when you have the animals coming down on the conveyor belt and you have like a saw that's constantly moving and chop... You think I'm joking? They have in some places that's a tranquilizer dart that they do some places they shoot the animal. Trust me, there's a lot of blood that comes out of a cow when it's shot in the head. You don't want it to. Okay, not for now. This is Avi, you had a comment?
Yeah. Is
there
a
Rabbanan or a Dereisa? The Pasuk says Lo Tevash HaGadi three times. Bishol, Achila, and Hana'ah are all Dereisa.
So if it's indirect, by buying stocks, shouldn't it not be...
So is it indirect? So that's what I tried to mention before. Stock ownership, it could be that I don't really own the cheeseburgers, no? If I have a share of McDonald's, I can't walk into McDonald's and say, I have a share, it's worth $18, give me, you know, however many, it's probably 18 cheeseburgers, and I will give you the share as payment. It doesn't work like that. So maybe it's some sort of heter because the way stock ownership works is that I own a right to some of the profits that the board of governors of the company decides to allocate to stockholders. Any of you in business school, you probably understand this a lot better than I do if you're in business school. I don't fully get the way stock ownership works, but fine. So there is an Isser of Achila, Bishol, and Hana'ah. We'll talk about McDonald's in a few minutes. Zakt the Mechaber Vaiter. Vahotzi Achila Balashon Bishol. Right? The Torah speaks about achila in the lashon of bishol. In other words, the Torah does not say don't eat basar b'chalav. The Torah says lo tivashel gedi b'chalav mo. Interestingly, by the way, Targum Unklus, who's supposed to give the literal translation of the Torah, how does Targum Unklus translate lo tivashel gedi b'chalav mo? You probably could find it in a second.
Yeah,
so he writes. Should I give it away? I think it says lo teichlon basar b'chalav. Besar b'chalav. Lo teichlon means don't eat. No? That's very interesting that the Torah is really saying don't eat basar b'chalav, but the Torah uses the word bishol to tell me not to eat basar b'chalav. And the Mechaber over here is bothered by the kasha, and he's quoting from the Rambam. How come achila is lashon bishol? How come we speak about achila with a lashon of bishul? Zok lemechaber lomar she'eino aser min haTorah ela derech bishul. Avo midrabbonon aser b'chol inyan. Right. So the mechaber tells me that the iser d'oraisa is only if it's cooked normally, but there's an iser d'rabbonon if it's any sort of processing basar b'chalav. Meaning to say that the Torah, says the Mechaber, uses the word bishol to teach me the chiddush that it's not considered basar b'chalav min haTorah unless it's cooked. It's only forbidden rabbinically if it's cooked. And then the Ramah adds, this line is really, it should be a Ramah line, Kol Basar B'cholav She'ino Asar Min HaTorah is Mutar B'Hana'a. That's why it's in parentheses. Basar B'cholav that's not Asar Min HaTorah is Mutar B'Hana'a. Okay, so let's go slowly. So I have Basar B'cholav De'oraisa, and that is only if it's Derech Bishol, only if it's cooked normally together. Right, Basar B'cholav D'Rabbanan is even if it's not cooked normally together, and the nafgamina is that if it's Basar B'cholav D'Rabbanan, then it is Mutar B'Hana'a. The Isser Hana'a only sets in on Basar B'cholav D'Oraisa. The Isser Hana'a does not set in on Basar B'cholav D'Rabbanan. And this is quoted by the Ramah here at the end of Se'if Aleph, but the Mechaber later on in Se'if Vav agrees with this also, as the Shach points out. So this is normative Judaism. So if something is Basar B'cholav D'Rabbanan, it's Mutar B'Hana'a. So what is a case of Basar B'cholav D'Rabbanan? That's something that we'll have to figure out in a few minutes. You had a question?
Yeah. Do any person do anything with the emo that it has to be the child deraisa, or is that just considered
the child?
The mother and the child. And
right.
The
so I don't, we assume that any milk, even if it's not chalav im, the Gemara derives from psukim that I milk this cow and I cook right that.
Like a cow, a calf, and goat's milk.
And, right. It's all deraisa. That's correct. Yeah. Again, if it's chalav tameh, if it's the milk of a non-kosher animal, it might be different, right?
But why, how do you see that from psukim versus just all torch about that?
It's drushes from psukim. Again, if you read Chulin Daf Kuf Yud Aleph Beis Gimel Dalid, you'll see a million different drushes that try to flush out these dinim. Pardon the pun. Yeah, fine. Let's go on. Zak the Shach. So we're trying to figure out what is Basar B'cholav D'Oraisa. So Shach tells me if it's not D'Oraisa, Avolo Ayidei Kavosh Umalicha She'enu Derech Bishol. If I soak, this is Chulin Daf Kuf Ches already, that Kavosh, if I soak the milk and meat together, that Itarulei Kula Yoma B'chalba, I could have a piece of meat that is sitting in milk for a full day. For a week, a month, it's sitting there, it is marinating in milk. Still, that is only going to be Basar B'cholav D'Rabbanan, and then it's Mutar B'Hana'a. Right? Also, Malicha, let's say I salt them together. Right? That is also, like, we have a rule in Hilchos Shabbos, according to the Rambam, everyone holds the rule in Kashrus called Malicha Kiroseach, no? Mm-hmm. If I have a piece of treif meat, and I salt it, and then I put a piece of kosher meat on top, no? So because of the salt, because that medium of the salt is there, that will transfer the tarfus into the kosher. And now I have treif, right? That's true if it's regular tarfus. Basar b'cholav requires real bishul. Maliach kiroseach is not bishul, and malicha is also derabbanon by basar b'cholav. Kavosh is d'oraisa by treif, no? Mm-hmm. Let's say I take a noodle, and I soak my noodle in chazer schmaltz. Chazer schmaltz is pig fat. Pig fat! Chazer schmaltz. Pig fat.
You can't
right?
say
so if I soak
chicken.
My... I
yeah,
soak
as
my...
I, as I heard.
Yeah. Schmaltz is chicken fat. You can't say
schmaltz
fat.
Means fat. Chazer schmaltz
it's
is
called
pig...
chicken schmaltz. It's really called schmaltz.
Right.
Well, schmaltz a herring.
Schmaltz herring?
No, he eat herring with schmaltz. We eat them together.
Yeah.
Too Jewish. Okay. The point is that Kavosh and Malicha Zak D'Shach is D'Rabbanan. The Goin, right, Rabbi Elijah Kramer of Vilna, skip a source, skip the Rabbi Kiva Eger for a minute. The Gra says, Kol Sha'al Yedei Ha'or is Derech Bishol, Kimosha Kasav Shom, Gezer Shema Ya'aleh, Be'ofis Roseach. That's what the Gemara says. Right? The Gemara in Daf Kuf Dalid has an expression that we make a gezer of ha'ala. I can't have milk and meat on the same table together. The Gemara asks Akasha, isn't a gezer a gezer? Zak the Gemara, I'm worried, Shema Yala Be'ofis Roseach, maybe it will go on a hot frying pan. Right? Maybe I'll have my hot frying pan with meat in it, and then I'll have milk on the same table, and they'll end up getting mixed together. So it's a gezer atu adai raisa. So the Gemara is saying, right, the Gra is saying that any heat is D'Oraisa. So the Gra's opinion is that it doesn't matter what the heat source is. You see, in Hilchos Shabbos, I have differences between, we could speak about cooking, which we'll call bishul, versus sli. Sli is roasting, right? Afia is baking. Tigun is frying, no?
Yeah.
These are all different processes, and we have to figure them out in terms of Hilchos Shabbos, in terms of bishul. But the Gra is telling me that kol sha'al yedei ha'esh, anything that involves heat, is by definition a da'iraisa. Right? The only thing that's not da'iraisa, the Gra, again, he's not quoting the Shach, but he probably is saying the same as the Shach, like the Prima Gana points out, that kovash and malicha is drabana, because there's no heat when they soak it together. But if it involves heat, then it is the oraisa, Judah, Yehuda.
When we're saying there's no heat, we're saying outside, in an external source, or if the actual item was hot and you put them together?
So if the actual item is hot and you put the two together, I have a hot hamburger and I put a piece of cheese on top of the hot hamburger, right? So for the Gra, I would argue that's considered d'oraisa because there is heat, there is esh, it's al yidei esh, it's coming through fire, no?
And when he says esh, are we saying yatzol esvah?
Probably yatzol esvah, we'll have to maybe talk about that in a few minutes. Obviously, each detail has to be focused on, but that's what the Gra says. So I would contend that according to the Gra, tzli, roasting them together, is da'iraisa. Now, obviously, we're heading in the direction of when it comes to our cheeseburgers. Did anyone here ever make a cheeseburger? Please say no, because it's a very serious shayla if you may make a cheese. Maybe with soy cheese or
soy
evil
cheese.
Soy meat or whatever they try to give you in yeshiva and they tell you counts as food. But right, those of you who haven't been to Israel, you're not missing anything with soy dogs.
What?
Soy dogs. Right, you know,
they have them here. Really
in, think in Cape Cod, they used to give
us
soy. They have them here.
Really
no. It's awful. It's like the, it's not like it's machol behema. Okay.
It was delicious.
If you like vegetables, it's fine.
Okay, so we're gonna have to disagree about this one, Michael. But the point is, okay, guys. The Gra quotes over here from the Pri Chodosh. The Rebbe Kiva Eger, excuse me. According to the Gra, anything with heat is d'oraisa. Then Rebbe Kiva Eger quotes that the Pri Chodosh Masik, that Tzli v'chein Iroi Tzonin L'tocham is also d'oraisa. That Tzli is roasting, or Iroi means I pour. Let's say I pour, I pour cold milk onto a hot item. That's also d'oraisa according to the Pri Chodesh. Va'ayin yamsho shlomo. Perakid hanosha simin memhei. De basar cham. Shenaga begvina chama. Ye shlomar. It's usar only midrabanan. Right? That's an important point. In other words, the Rebbe Kiva Eger, excuse me, is quoting that there's a machlokas and there's some who assume that sli, right, is drabanan. Or certainly when a hot item touches hot cheese, that's also Durabonon. They point out usually this is a Machlokas Rashi and Tosas on Daf Dalet in Sanhedrin about the status of Tzli, whether it's considered cooking or not. Now, once I have this, so I have already a Svara why my McDonald's cheeseburgers are not D'oraisa. Because the way you make a cheeseburger, apparently, I've never tried this, is that you heat a hamburger, no? And then you put cheese on top of it. I think they have like a piece of equipment that's sort of like an iron, but it's like a press that you put down. You know, like a sandwich maker? Right? You press it down, and then there's dry heat over there. There's no liquid. If I take the approach of the Yamsho Shlomo and others, the Yamsho Shlomo is saying that only bishul, only cooking in the sense that I'm cooking it in water and cooking it in a liquid, but tzli and tigun might be drabanan. According to the Yamsho Shlomo, right? Frying is the halachic equivalent of roasting, because even though I put a little bit of liquid in the pan when I fry, the goal of that liquid is only to make sure that it doesn't burn. The goal is not to actually cook. Deep frying is cooking. Like if you go to Golan Heights, So when they give you French fries or any of their food, it's made in a deep fryer. Basically, that's like a tub of boiling oil, and you stick it in and it cooks, no? So that's the equivalent of cooking it in water. But when I cook with dry heat, whether it's through roasting or frying, that's dry heat. So according to some of the Rishonim, right, that Rashi in Sanhedrin, and according to some of the Achrayim, that is not d'oraisa, it's only d'rabbanan. If it's basa b'chol of d'rabbanan, so then the Ramah tells me that there's no iser hana'a, and then memela, I have a heter to own stock in McDonald's, no? Because it's not usher b'hana'a min ha-Torah. Now it happens that there's a bit of a problem with the Shtickle Torah, and I'll tell it to you very quickly. We're trying to base ourselves on the Maharshal, on the Yamshul Shlomo. The Maharshal himself is quoted in the next Shach in Sifkat and Beis, that the Maharshal disagrees with the Ramah. When the Ramah says, Abbas b'chol of d'rabbanon, is mutter b'hana'a, the Maharshal disagrees. The Maharshal, by the way, is always the big loser in Yerideya, no? There's a team of three losers in Yerideya. Right? We're not talking about right? The three losers in Yerideya, the three people who always lose every machlokas practically are Levush, Bach, and Maharshal. No? They always lose. Always. Fine. So, if you'll look, by the way, in the Pishei Tshuva in Sifkatin Gimel, we'll talk about the end of the Rebbe Kiva Eger in a few minutes. Pesachim Shuvah and Sifkat and Gimel quotes the same machlokas about the status of frying and roasting. He quotes the Pri Chodesh that Tigun is Bishul, but the Minchas Yaakov and the Solos Al Mincha Klal Pei Hei, that's a commentary on the Ramuz Sefer Torah Chatos and the Maram Shif. Right, Siddul HaKal, that Tigun is not Bichlal Bishul, it's not Oser B'Hana'a. Right? And Cham B'Cham, the Prima Gadim quote, that's not Derech Bishon, it's Mutter B'Hana'a, Ayin Chsam Sofer. Right? In other words, the Pishei Tshuva is adding a detail. He says, let's say I have a cheeseburger, which is now not Basa B'chol of Min HaTorah, according to the Maharshal, because Tzli is not D'oraisa. If I then cook that cheeseburger in water, I put it in a pot of water, and I cook it, and then I give it to the guy, I just violated an Iser Bishul Basa B'chol. Even though one could argue that we should apply rules of Ein Bishul Achar Bishul, apparently we will not say that if the first time it was not a halachic cooking of basar b'cholam. That's something that we'll talk about in a few minutes. Okay, let's go on. So we're defining what is considered cooking for purposes of basar b'cholam. What about cooking in the microwave? Is that cooking for purposes of basar b'cholam?
Because it's using itself.
So if I hold of the Gruz definition that cooking means with fire, is a microwave using fire?
No.
Right? So, l'cha'ora, right? Now, there are different types of microwaves. They have today convection microwaves. A convection microwave does use some traditional heat in it. The idea of a convection microwave is that ordinarily a microwave does not heat to a uniform temperature. That's why, like, my kids hate this. Like, sometimes, like when Abba makes supper. So, how does Abba make supper? Abba takes out the leftovers and Abba zaps it. Right, that's traditional Abba supper, right? And if you guys had this experience as a kid, right? So the kids always hate it because, like, Sunday night supper when Ima's not home is I'll take out the leftover chalent, and the kids say, "Well, you know, it's really cold at the bottom," so I zap it again. There's always something that ends up cold, right? You ever notice that? Why is that true? Because microwaves don't heat uniformly. The way a microwave heats generally is a microwave is looking. Those little microwaves are out there and they're looking for the bits of liquid that are inside the food. And that little bit of liquid gets heated up. And that little bit of liquid will what? Will heat the stuff surrounding it. Consequently, if I have a piece of meat, the liquid might not be evenly distributed. And therefore, the microwave doesn't cook evenly. Okay, so let's go slowly. What's the status of cooking in the microwave? So according to the Gra, cooking in the microwave is not considered halakhic cooking because it's not hot, but a convection microwave maybe has some heat in it and maybe would be a problem, but we'll give the grout a check. Right? Now, it happens that the there is a huge discussion in this here. You have a question, John?
How about those like chemically activated water?
Chemically activated water things, right. So we could talk about those in a few minutes. I don't know if they make any of those with Basar B'Chalav, but in terms of Hilchos Shabbos, Rav Shach has a truth that he wrote for the OU about, they're called MREs, Meals Ready to Eat. They have them for the army, but there is an organization called Lavriot. That Lavriot, my parents like use this stuff because they, my parents are at the stage in life where they take vacations to places that never saw Jews before. So what do you eat when you go to one of these places? So you take Lavriot meals with you, no?
You eat fruit for like 2 months.
Really
or you just only eat fruit. That's another option.
Only eat fruit. That's also an option. Or tuna or stuff. I mean, there are some options that you can take. So Rav Schechter, in an article about the Lavriot, basically argues that the same issue that we have in using electricity on Shabbos applies to making Lavriot meals on Shabbos. Because the issue of using electricity, according to most, according to Yitzchak Shmokas and his Tshuvas, etc., is that I'm making something new. I'm changing. Right? Rabbi Yitzchak Shmokas in the Tshuva writes that it's also to make seltzer on Shabbos. I got in big trouble in my shul when I spoke about this. Someone asked me about electricity, so I said, well, you know, someone asked me about making seltzer on Shabbos. I said, well, making seltzer on Shabbos is like using electricity. What's the issue to make seltzer? Rabbi Yitzchak Shmokas says, because he says, I have plain water, I put gas into the water, and now I have bubbles. That means I made a significant change in the item.
Are there two opinions to
that? What?
Are there two sides to that?
Are there two sides to it? So it happens that if you look in the Shulchan Shlomo for Shlomo Zalman Auerbach, he's Mekel on... There is a seltzer company out there that writes on their... what's it called?
There's an Israeli one.
Right, so the Israeli one has the source in the Shulchan Shlomo, where Shlomo Zalman is Mekel on this. It happens that the Tzitz Eliezer is Machmir, others are Machmir, some are Mekel, some are Machmir, but Rav Yitzchak Shmokas in his tshuva about electricity, right, which, for me, the funny thing over here is that that's the most accepted view of why electricity is forbidden to use on Shabbos. Right, none of my rebbeim except the Chazon Ish, that there's an Isser bone there with electricity on Shabbos. Right? It's really not done. Right? I'm not talking about turning on lights, by the way. I'm talking about plugging in the fan and turning on the fan. Right? So if Yitzchak Shmokas says that the Isser is to make a change, which is some sort of makom patash drabanan maybe. So Memela, when Shachter feels that the Lavriot meals are also usher because it's a makom patash drabanan that I'm making a significant change. My food is going from uncooked to cooked. And the meila, right, I just transformed it significantly, and that's a problem. Let me hear from Nadav and then from Yehuda.
So the...
if it's drabanan, you can do like a shvut, if someone's sick, mildly, you can buy it.
Maybe, kind of. A shvus to shvus, Yisrael is questionable. I mean, this an Isser Drabanan involved in making these foods on Shabbos. This is sort of Shechter feels. That's why the OU doesn't give Hashgacha for Shabbos use. Rav Shechter is the posting for the OU. Yeah, you though.
Just going back to this one more time, for the change, food has that major thing.
Maybe it's Mishmokas.
If you think it's a change, but seltzer is the only change that's not reversible, that's temporary.
So a seltzer is a temporary change, but it's a temporary change in the sense that when the change evaporates, that means the seltzer is like broken, and then they redo it again. It's like the Chaya Adam speaks about winding the old watches, no? So some people said it's temporary. But Rav Shlomo Zalman points out in this truth is you can't say something is temporary if you would prefer that it always remains, just the metzius is that it evaporates. I prefer that my watch always stayed wound, right? It happens to, it's a shtickle broken, that it only winds for, remember, you know what I'm talking about, the old watches, that you have to wind them. So it's a shtickle broken, it only lasted 24 or 36 hours. My watch that I got from my grandfather lasts for 36 hours. Right? That's the way the winding works. Okay, very nice. Right? But it's like broken when it's not going, so I can't say that that's considered a temporary thing. The seltzer is similar to that in the sense of I prefer that the bubbles stay, right? It just happens that they don't. Yeah.
But isn't also that by twisting it by the watches, you can, as long as it's still working, you can twist it again. So could that mean that you have a
quasi-bubbly? Maybe that's a further, that's a detailed question within the Chaya Odom's shita of watches. The Chaya Odom himself does not permit twisting a watch even while it's running. He assumes that there's still some sort of makabapatish. And if there's some who permit it in that situation, again, I don't want to go off into electricity on Shabbos. It's a little too far afield. Yeah, I won't talk about microwaves.
In terms of like Hilchos Shabbos and Bas Brachot, how much do they overlap?
Right, so that's the $1 million question that we're trying to figure out. Do I equate cooking in Hilchos Shabbos to cooking by Bas Brachot? So why would I or why wouldn't I? So it could be that the nature of the Isser Bishol is different in different places. It could be that by Bas Brachot, the nature of the Isser Bishol is to make a chafetz of Bas Brachot. In Hilchos Shabbos, the Isser is to do a mais of Bishol. Right? I could argue that it's two totally different hagdaras of cooking. That's a larger issue that maybe we'll talk about in 2 or 3 minutes. Let's just discuss microwaves first, then we could also talk about the sheer bishul, the nature of bishul. I have a lot on this sheet that I want to get to, but we probably won't get to everything because that's the nature of things. Fine. The Gemara in Shabbos tells me that if I am mevashel b'chama, right, let's say, I always wanted to do this as a kid, my mother was never into this, right, to cook an omelet on the sidewalk.
Car is better, because that way it's cleaner.
Car, it depends on where you live, and if you, right, it depends on how many birds there are, but the fact is that, right, to cook an omelet in the sun, so the Gemara tells me in Shabbos, on the Lamed Tes, right, it's mutter to cook in direct sunlight on Shabbos. Mutter. Heter gomor. It is not forbidden rabbinically. It's absolutely permitted. Toldos ha'ar, everyone holds this asr. Toldos ha'ar is something that was heated by your fire. The machlokes is about toldos chama. That's what the Gemara says. Why is it that it's mutter to cook b'chama? Zot Rashi in Shabbos on Dav Lamed Tes. Rashi writes, because ein derech bishulo b'kach. Because it's not a normal way of cooking. Right? So Rashi says that, at least in the context of Shabbos, Chama, which is the same as Shemesh, Rashi tells me, is Ein Derech Bishol. It's not the normal way of cooking. Memeila, Zakr of Moshe Feinstein, the Tshuva, oh, that's why, in Chela Gimel Simen Nunbeis, so Moshe writes in the Tshuva, he says, whoa, slowly. That means the only heter on Shabbos is because it's not the normal way of cooking. Well, if I have a microwave, and people cook in microwaves all the time today, no? It's like, I mean, certainly the way I cook, right? I do more cooking in the microwave, certainly, than I do in the pot, right? So, it is there, Bishul Sefer Moshe. Memeila, it would be awesome in HaTorah. Right, Moshe, based on the Rashi by Bishul B'chama, says that microwave is Dori Raisa. Right? Okay. So far, so good. Now,
you said this was
Chelak Gimel Nundayis, if I'm not mistaken. Okay. Now, what's interesting about that is that, first of all, it's not abundantly clear. You see, the Rav Shechter always quotes from the Chazon Ish. The Gemara at the beginning of Avodah Zarah says that the world is going to be 6,000 years, no? Right? The world's going to be 6,000 years. And the first 2,000 years are Tohu Vavohu. Tohu Vavohu, 2,000 years, doesn't really mean 2,000 years, the Gemara says. It means until the year 1948, when Abraham the Patriarch was born. Right? Avraham Avinu was born in 1948. That's a good year for you Zionists, right? And then, right, that's 2,000 years. Then the next 2,000 years, the Gemara says, is called the 2,000 years of Torah. And then the next 2,000 years is called the 2,000 years of Yimos HaMashiach. So the question is, right, 2,000 years of Tohu, then Torah, then Yimos HaMashiach. So the Maharshal there in Avodah Zarah asks, he says, 1 second, 2,000 years of Torah is only the middle 2,000 years. Does that mean that right now we are living in the stage of life that there's no Torah? If anything, there's more Torah now in the world than there was beforehand. Look at how many guys are in the yeshivas today. In our Greek grandparents' time in Europe, right, the yeshivas had what? The whole yeshiva world was what, 400 guys? The great Mir, Slabotka, Valozhin, whatever it is, how many guys were there? Right, today you have what? 5,000 students in the Mir Yeshiva alone living in half a square block and like stirring their coffee with a pair of glasses. Right? So.
Yeah, but back then they used to know a lot more than we do.
Maybe. So maybe Torah. Maybe Torah refers to the amount of knowledge as opposed to the amount of students. But the Maharsha asks this kasha. So the Maharsha answers there in Avodah Zarah that when we speak about Tohu, then Torah, then Yemos HaMashiach, that means it's one built upon the other. In other words, now we're in 2,000 years of Yemos HaMashiach, which is also 2,000, which is also years of Torah. Right? That's what Maharsha says. One builds on the other. That would mean, by the way, that there still is tohu in the world. If one is building on the other, that's conceptually interesting. But the Chazon Ish disagrees. The Chazon Ish in the same beginning of Yerideya, Chazon Ish has an understanding like this. He says that the 2,000 years, right, we have 2,000 of tohu, then Torah, then Yemos HaMashiach. The Chazon Ish says, he's just spelled it wrong, Yemos HaMashiach. So the Chazon Ish says, you know what it means? The 2,000 years of Torah means that all the dinim in Torah were set in place by the year, let's say, 3948, or the year 4000, or roughly that equivalent. All of the dinim in Torah that are based on Metzius are not based on Metzius that changes from generation to generation, but it's based on Metzius that was in place at this point, at the end of the 2,000 years of Torah. Chazon Ish says this in the context of trefils, no? The Gemara says that there are 18 trefils. Some of these trefils don't seem to exist today. No, one of the trefils is an animal that's an amputee, an animal that has its leg severed above the knee. Right? Today, animals are amputees, and they live just fine as amputees. No? So does that mean they're not a trefil? A trefil should die within 12 months? So the Chazon Ish says he thinks that since people used to die at the end of the 2,000 years of Torah, at that time, animals would die as an amputee, so Bizman has it also, we continue with that Metzius. If that Chazon Ish is correct, I remember if Schechter once said this in the Chabura, when we learned Shabbos here in the Yeshiva, so if that Chazon Ish is correct, so Memele, you could argue on Rav Moshe, you could say that even if today everyone cooks in a microwave, but microwave is still not Derech Bishul, because in the year 3948, or 4000, right, 1773 years ago, right, so did anyone cook in a microwave? Right? Probably not. Right? Probably no one cooked in the microwave in the year 300. So Mamela, right? Mamela is considered Ein Derech Bishul. That's an aside that Rav Schechter has. Okay, but let's go on. So according to Rav Moshe, presumably microwaves is Doraisa, we have the question from the Chazon Ish's approach. Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach, in a tshuva that I think I give you, Rav Shlomo Zalman disagrees with Rev Moshe. Rav Shlomo Zalman writes that even though Rashi says that Bishul B'cham was based on Nafter Bishul Mikom Makom, near and apart from the second line in the Mincha Shlomo, Shigam Ba'Open Shekein V'Gim L'Bashul B'cham Kamo Dud Shemesh U'Kedome. You see, in Israel, Bishul B'cham is very common. How can you have hot water in many places? You have a Dud Shemesh, right? A Dud Shemesh is a solar heating.
Solar boiler.
Right? Now, it happens that most Dud Shemeshes aren't completely solar-powered, no? They have some...
The American ones.
Okay. But the Rav Shlomo Zalman says that if you have a Dud Shemesh, you can't... Even if today people cook a Dud Shemesh, you're still potter. And he wants to argue that... Blah, blah, blah. Al Karchach Kavanas Rashi, just skip a few lines... Midvam Eilu Lomar De Ein Zeh Karoi Bishul Ulofize Gam Bishul Achot Izerim etc. is not called Bishul Kumoken Yeshadunu Basar B'cholav etc. In other words, what Shlomo Zalman is saying is that normal isn't defined by how many people do something. Normal is defined by what is the definition of cooking. Cooking means fire and water. Right? Even if a million people today will cook with a solar-powered whatever, that doesn't make it normal. that doesn't make it derech bishul. Right? What Rav Shlomo Zalman is really saying is an interesting approach. He's saying that derech bishul doesn't, it's not numerically determined, it's not statistics. It's determined by, is it the, I'd say, the quintessential, the classical method of cooking? Classical cooking involves water. Classical cooking, so therefore, according to Rav Shlomo Zalman, with a microwave, no? Is it classical cooking? L'chora, it's not. Even if a million people cook with a microwave, Rav Shlomo Zalman would say it's okay. And Rav Shlomo Zalman would say it's not aser min ha-Torah. It might be aser min rabbanon, right? But it's not aser min ha-Torah. Why? Because it's not derech bishul. Even if a million people do it, that doesn't make it derech bishul. Okay, so now, it happens that we could just, if you'll give me 2 more minutes to flesh out one issue on Hilchos Shabbos, and then I'll show you that it's relevant for Basar B'Cholav. It happens that this whole Rashi is very difficult. You see, in Hilchos Shabbos in general, Gemara on Shabbos Daf Gimel, right, throughout Maseches Shabbos, what does the word Pater mean? Daf Yomi Jerus? Pater V'Aser. Pater U'Mutter does not exist in Shabbos with 3 exceptions, right? Well, Pater U'Mutter does not exist with 3 exceptions, right? Yeah. Mapis Mursa and Sad Nachash, right? Okay, it goes back a while. So there are 3 exceptions in the Gemara. Ah. So there's no. So the Kasha basically is, so if I do something with a Shinui, I do something in an atypical way, generally in Hilchos Shabbos, what's the din? If I do something with a Shinui, is it permitted? Am I allowed on Shabbos it's to walk around and turn on lights all day with my elbow? It's also midrabanan. So how come cooking in the sun is heter gamur? How come it's absolutely permitted to cook in the sun? L'cha'ora, it should be aser midrabanan. Because if it's not derech bishul, like Rashi says, it should be aser midrabanan. This is the kasha that the Egle Tal asks in his Hakdama to the Sefer. The Egle Tal is a Sakhi Chavar Rebbe. It's like the classic work on the Malachas of Shabbos. Think next year Yeshiva's on Shabbos, so you'll probably talk a lot about Egle Tal. It's beautiful. Oh. So the Egle Tal has a Yisoid in that Hakdama. The Avni Nezer is the same person as Egle Tal. The Moses in his Chubas. That there's 2 types of Shalom Kederach. There is Shalom Kederach in the Pu'ula, and there is Shalom Kederach in the Nif'al. No? Shalom Kederach in the Pu'ula means I do the action the same in a different way than the action is usually done. I turn on the light with my elbow. Ultimately, the light is shining the same as it always shines. No? But there's also Shalom Kederach in the Nif'al, which is that the result is different. The Egle Tal Tainas, and that's the pshat in Rashi and Shabbos. When Rashi says that cooking in the sun is shalom kederach, what Rashi means is that it's shalom kederach in the sense that it's a different result. You see, the Gemara in Pesachim has an expression that yesh shefach eitzim bepas. That when I cook bread, the fuel, and we all know this, no? Right? The brick oven pizza stores, right? What's the whole chap? Now apparently the pizza tastes a little different when it comes from a brick oven than when it comes from a regular oven, no? Is that true? I never noticed a difference. Yeah. But yeah. People say that, people swear by this, right? The pizza mumchim swear by this. Ah. So that's because of a yisod called yesh shevach eitzim. Yesh shevach eitzim means that the method of cooking impacts on the food. So therefore, says the Egle Tal, it's going to be heter gomor to be mevashel b'chama, because what? Because it's qualitatively a different form of cooking. Right? The result is different. The food that's cooked in the sun doesn't taste the same. Consequently, in an article in Tchumen, Volume Ches, Professor Zev Lev, that's, you know, Machon Lev. Right? Who went to... Right? Machon Lev, right? Oh. So Professor Willie Lowe, Zev Lev, he actually was in Yeshiva here in 1982, and he founded our contemporary halacha program here in Yeshiva. Which is... no one here knows that. So Professor Lev argues that food that's cooked in the microwave is also a shinui in the nif'al. It's a shinui that the food tastes differently. And he bases on what we said before, that the food doesn't become uniformly hot because you're only heating up the little bit of water over here, over there. Now, if it's a shinui in the nif'al, that's why it's heter gomor. If that's the case, So then one could argue that cooking in a microwave, again, there might be other Yisurim Drabanan involved in clearing a microwave, but on Shabbos, it would not be Bishul, even according to Reb Shlomo Zalman. Right? Reb Shlomo Zalman is trying to argue that it is considered cooking because... No, Reb Shlomo Zalman is trying to argue that it's not Derech Bishul. Reb Moshe argues it is Derech Bishul today. One could say that, no, it's not Derech Bishul because the resultant food, even according to Reb Moshe, would be permitted. Now, when we try to plug this into Basar B'Cholov, so then one could argue as follows, that according to Reb Moshe, it would be cooking with Basar B'Cholov, because it's the normal way of cooking. According to Reb Shlomo Zalman, maybe it is not cooking by Basar B'Cholov, although one could argue that even according to Reb Shlomo Zalman, maybe we don't necessarily equate Shabbos to Basar B'Cholov. That's something we'll talk about in a few minutes. But once we have what Professor Lev is saying, it's a totally different type of cooking, so we're not be cooking min ha-Torah by microwaves. Okay. I want to skip the next issue because we're running short on time. The next issue is just like how much cooking has to be done. You see, in Hilchos Shabbos, if I cook something kamacho ben yishusai, I'm chayiv. I cook something a third way, I'm chayiv. Whether that's true by basar b'cholov or not seems to be a machlokes between Rashi and the Ritva, to suffik in the Prima Gadim, but it's a larger issue in terms of do I equate Hilchos Shabbos to basar b'cholov. The reason why that is most relevant is as follows. It's most relevant because of... most relevant for the question of Bishul Achar Bishul. Right, in Shabbos, I assume that Ein Bishul Achar Bishul, does that apply to Basar B'Cholov? So that's a discussion in that first Rebbe Akiva Eger that we have on the first page. Rebbe Akiva Eger wants to say that even though there is Bishul Achar Bishul by Shabbos, that would mean that let's say I have a piece of cheese on Shabbos, and the cheese is cooked once. Right? All cheese is cooked today to make the cheese. No, all of the cheaper kosher cheeses are cooked. The more expensive cheeses are not cooked. No?
Yeah.
More expensive cheeses, you just put milk into the stomach cavity of an animal, and the rennet inside the animal's stomach cavity works on it and makes it into cheese. No?
Yeah.
But the cheaper kosher cheeses, certainly like American cheese, is all cooked. So I got a kasha. How can I violate Basar B'Cholov? Right, when I'm cooking my American cheese with a pizza, with a hamburger, right? Before, the hamburger was cooked once, the American cheese was cooked once. Ein bishul achar bishul. So Rebbe Akiva Eger wants to say that in that situation, you know what? We're not going to say ein bishul achar bishul. Even though on Shabbos, I'd say ein bishul achar bishul because the cheese was cooked and the hamburger was cooked. But by Basar B'Cholov, I won't. Because the nature of the Isser of Basar B'Cholov is to make a Chafetz of Basar B'Cholov. Now, this is relevant for the following situations that I want to talk about. Years ago, when Rav Moshe Soloveitchik was here in Yeshiva, so they asked the question about someone was working in a chemistry lab, and they gave him a piece of chocolate, and they wanted that person to do a test on the chocolate to see if there's any animal products in the chocolate. Now, how do you test it? So all of us who took high school chemistry remember that the way you test something to find out its components is that basically you take it, you put it in a Bunsen burner, no?
Yeah.
Put it in a, right? And you heat it up, and somehow you separate the components, and you ask your professor what the right answer should be, right? That's the way high school chemistry works. So this guy asked, is there an Isser of Bishul Basar B'Cholov on the chocolate that he's testing to find out maybe there is meat? In other words, he's nervous if there is tallow, if there's some meat in the chocolate, so maybe that might be an Isser of Bishul Basar B'Cholov. That's the question that they asked Rav Moshe Soloveitchik. So Rav Moshe Soloveitchik, am I writing that on the board? Rav Moshe Soloveitchik says that he thinks it is mutter. And the Truman, the Dov of Mesharim, also said it's mutter, based on a reasoning as follows. Turn to this Kesef Mishnah, okay? Turn to the Kesef Mishnah. From the Inami in the Kesef Mishnah, the end of the first line in the Kesef Mishnah. Take on the third page, right? Inami, Dimashma Shalo Asra Torah Levashel Ela Kadei Shalo Yavo Le'echol. Period, quote, end. The Kesef Mishnah is saying a Yesod that the nature of the Isser Bishul by Basar B'Cholav is don't cook Basar B'Cholav, because if I cook Basar B'Cholav, I'm going to come to eat it. No?
Yeah, but that doesn't cover going to McDonald's. That's already being cooked for you.
So I, remember, the Isser Bishul means I can't cook it. I'm not allowed to cook it because I'm nervous that if I'm going to be involved in cooking Basar B'Cholav, I'm going to nibble some of the food as I'm cooking it.
Right, so not
ah, so if I have someone cooks it for me, so that person is violating an Isser, correct? Right? Or, but even better, but Moshe Soloveitchik wants to say, based on the Kesef Mishnah, that the Kesef Mishnah is saying that the Bishul is a siyag unto achila. Really what the Torah wants is that we shouldn't eat Basar B'Cholav. Yet Hashem phrased it, lo tivashel gedi. Why did Hashem do that? Because Hashem wanted to tell me that even Bishul is Usr. Really, right, what God is saying is don't cook it. God is saying don't eat it. But God uses the word Lo Tivashel because, right, not only should you not eat it, but you shouldn't cook it, because if you cook, you'll come to eat. It's like a Kal Vachomer that's built into the Torah, no? That's what the Kesef Mishnah seems to be saying. It says, Reb Moshe Soloveitchik. And that's the way he understands these Rambams. Right, look at the Rambam in Hilchos Tumas Meis, Perek Aleph Halacha Beis. This is the Rambam the Kesef Mishnah is quoting on. Right, the Rambam says that Tumas Mas is Mipi Ashmua, Kavachom Hadvar Mimne Velo, which is Tumas Erevein Matama Ba Ohel Matama Ba Masa, Meis Lo Koshekein, etc. Then he writes, Yera Eli, Sheshasak Mimena Hakasov. How come the Torah doesn't say anything about Tumas Masa by Yemes? How come the Torah leaves it blank? So Zuck the Rambam, Yera Eli, Sheshasak Mimena Hakasov, Kider Sheshasak Mi Isser Habas. The Torah only says that granddaughters are aser. I can't have relations with my granddaughter. It doesn't say you can't have relations with your daughter. Lefisha aser beferish afil bas habas. In other words, the Torah doesn't have to say there's an iser of bas, because the Torah says there's an iser of granddaughter, and if granddaughter is aser, daughter is, of course, aser. Vishasak me iser achilas basar b'cholav, lefisha aser beferish afil bishulo. Right? In other words, that the Torah doesn't have to say that there's an iser of achilas basar b'cholav, because once the Torah says it's an iser bishul, bishul subsumes achila. That's what the Kesef Mishnah says. This concept of siyag d'oraisa, that the Torah is making a fence itself, is a concept that Rabbi Yosef Engel made famous. There's a few examples that we have. No, lo tikrivu legalos erva. What God really wants is that I shouldn't sleep with arayis. But God says lo tikrivu legalos erva. Don't hug, kiss, etc. Why not? Because we're worried it's a siyag d'oraisa. It's a din d'oraisa. Usually siyag d'rabbanan. This is siyag d'oraisa. It's a din d'oraisa. Don't kiss and hug, because you might come to sleep together. No? There's a din d'oraisa. Don't have yichud, according to most. It's d'oraisa. This is yichud, it's d'oraisa. Why? You'll have yichud, you might come to real arayas. There are concepts of siyag d'oraisa. And one example of siyag d'oraisa is bishul basar b'cholav. That's what the Kesef Mishnah seems to be saying. Once I have this Kesef Mishnah, so Rav Moshe Soloveitchik said, Memela, if I'm going to cook something in a way, in a situation that I know for sure I'm never going to come to eat it, so that's not the Isser Bishul. The Isser Bishul is only to cook when you might come to eat it. But to cook when it won't come to eat, that's going to be okay. Right? So if I'm in a science lab, and the whole goal of my cooking is just I want to identify the food to find out the components, so then it's permitted. This issue comes up all the time. Nadav has a question, and then I'll...
Yeah, it's really bothering me that chocolate is still there, though. Like, I've been trying to...
It's bothering you.
Yeah.
Right? Now, this should be us, sir?
No, chocolate is... There's an O over there.
I don't know.
Okay, what? Fine.
Are you serious?
Yeah,
I
try.
No, 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 no. Don't do it. Don't do it. No, no, no.
No.
Yes.
Yes.
No. No.
Fine. Now. Sokolov comes up most often people who want to go to school of culinary arts.
Mm-hmm.
So what they teach you in cooking school is how to cook. And usually they ask you to mix milk and meat together and cook it. Well, that could be a very serious problem. Obviously, the Isser of Bishul Basar B'Chalav. So some say, according to the Kesef Mishnah, it's okay if you know for sure you're not going to eat it. First of all, it's not so posh in culinary art school that you know for sure you're not going to eat it, because one of the rules is that you're supposed to eat the food that's cooked. But it's also problematic because the Kesef Mishnah is problematic on its own right. You see, usually we assume that lo darshin on the time of the Krah. But usually we don't try to figure out what did God have in mind? Why did God say it's usher? Right? And even if why not? Because I can't understand why God said it's usher. God had so many different reasons. But I can't know exactly why Hashem said it's usher. That's all there shunan, time of the crow. So within the Rambam there's a huge stira where the Rambam passes there shunan time of the crow, there shunan time of the crow. Comes above him and see it. Kuf Tesvav. Rosach bo beged almada. Now the Torah says I'm not allowed to take the collateral from an almana. Why not? So it's machlokes hatanaim. Why not? Some assume rosach bo beged almada means don't do it. I don't care why. Others say no. The problem is because it's masiyah shem rabbi shnei noseha. That the neighbors are going to see that every day, what am I doing? I take the Amanda's pajamas, right? So every night I'm going to her house, I say, here is your pajamas, because I have it as collateral, now she has to sleep, right? Well, what are people going to say if they see me knocking on this woman's door every night and getting her pajamas? Right? People are not going to say anything positive, right? What's going on? So therefore, right, it could be that by Amana Ashira it's permitted, by a woman who has an additional set of pajamas, and she's able to sleep in her own pajamas. I don't have to return it to her every night, so it's permitted. That's the machlokes darshin in time of the crop. The Rambam paskins that this applies bein aniyah bein ashira. That means the Rambam holds one darshin in time of the crop over there. Yet the Rambam in the context of intermarriage, no? The Rambam famously writes in Hilchos Yisurei Bia that you can't marry. The Torah only says don't intermarry with the seven nations, no? Keni, Knezi, what are the seven nations? Chiti, Amori, Prizi, Yavusi, Girgashi, etc. Right? Don't intermarry with them. That's what the Torah says. Lo titatein ban. Right? But the Rambam paskins said it applies to all nations. Why? Because apparently the Rambam is saying Darshin in time of the Krah. Right? The Rambam is saying that we understand that the reason for the prohibition of intermarriage is you'll marry a girl from a different nation, right? You might come to serve Avodah Zarah. It's not only these seven nations, it's any nation. That's based on the Reb Shimon of Darshin in time of the Krah. So there's a steer in Rambam, so this Darshin in time of the Krah or not, but generally it's assumed that Lo Darshin in time of the Krah. If it's Lo Darshin in time of the Krah, then we don't understand the Kesef Mishnah. Moreover, it's problematic based on the Rambam himself. You see, the Rambam, I have it here in Halacha Vav. The Rambam writes in Halacha Vav that Hamavashal Chilev B'Cholov. Let's say I have Chilev. Chilev is non-kosher fat, no? Some fat is kosher, and some fat is non-kosher. The fat that would go on the Mizbeach, right? The Chilev Al HaKlayot, right? The fat that's on top of the kidneys, and the Chilev HaMachasas HaKerev. If you ever cut an animal open, you'll see that this huge amount of fat just pours out, and that fat covered the chest cavity of the animal. That's the chilev hamachasas hakerev. It's absolutely gross, right? But that chilev would go on the mizbeach. That's what went on the mizbeach. Okay, fine. Other fat in the animal is considered kosher because it's not in those places. The fat that didn't go on the mizbeach is kosher. So far, so good. Now, let's say I take chilev and I cook chilev with cholov. Mevashal chilev with cholov. So chilev is treif anyway. And I cook it with cholov. I cook it with milk. So the Rambam writes that loke al bishulo. So my point is in the Gemara. But the Rambam passes that you get malchus for cooking that together. According to the Kesef Mishnah, there's no reason I should get malchus in that situation. Because if the malchus for bishul basar b'cholov, and only when I cook it in a way that I might come to eat it, chilev I'm never going to eat anyway, because chilev is treif. So is there any heter for this chocolate case? Right? The Ramosha Salvitrik based it on the Kesef Mishnah, but the Kesef Mishnah is difficult for two reasons. It's difficult because generally we assume that Lo Darshin the time of the Kura, and it's also difficult because the Rambam himself paskins, Mevashel Chilo V'Cholov gets Malkus, and they give you that Rambam in Halacha Vav, they get Malkus for cooking it. That means that we're not holding Kesef Mishnah this reason, because according to Kesef Mishnah, I wouldn't get Malkus, Yehuda.
It's a piece of chocolate. It's already formed, right?
Okay, and therefore?
All he's doing is reheating it so it could stick and then separate it.
So, Reb Chacham Ovadia Yosef, Taina, is that the chocolate case is going to be mutter for a different reason because of Ein Bishol Achar Bishol. Remember, even though we said before that there is Bishol Achar Bishol by Basar B'Chalal, that means when the milk was cooked separately and the meat was cooked separately, and then I put them together, then there is Bishol Achar Bishol. But if it was already cooked as Basar B'Chalal, then I reheat it, so then we're going to assume Ein Bishol Achar Bishol. That's why Rav Moshe Salovey, that's why Chacham Ovadia, this tshuva that I give you, here seems that the chocolate case is going to be mutter because you are doing the same thing that was once done and the mela is permitted. Yeah.
And then you have the same problem you said before, that if you do the dry heat, the hamburger, and you put in the boiling water.
That would be a problem. But the chocolate is made through regular cooking, and if I cook it again, that should be permitted. That machora is the answer to the chocolate question. And just a few other questions that come by Bishop Basar B'Cholom that's worth thinking about is as follows. I'll give you one question. Everyone thinks I'm crazy for being nervous about this, but I'm nervous about the following situation. At home, I have milchik dish towels and fleishik dish towels. I also have pyrif dish towels. Now, technically speaking, you don't need separate gender dish towels, right? What?
It only matters like if you were in the middle of using one. Am I wrong? Or?
So if I'm in the middle of using one, milk one, and I use it for meat, what would be bad? I'm wiping it off. It's all dry. It's all cold.
To the garbage also that you're wiping out?
So I wipe it off with paper towels I throw it in the garbage.
What's that called? You know it's called the garbage. It's
Holich le'ibud.
Yeah.
But again, if I don't assume like the Kesef Mishnah, so presumably there's an Isser Bishol even if it's Holich le'ibud. But let me tell you what I'm nervous about. It's about this. My kids spill milk on the floor all the time. So I take a milchik towel, I wipe it up. Then my kid spills some gravy, some fleishik gravy. So I take my fleishik towel and I wipe it up. Then I do laundry. Now, when I wash my dish towels, right, do I wash it on the cold cycle?
No.
No way. I wash dish towels on the hot cycle. Is that an Isser Bishol Basar B'Cholov? You think I'm absolutely nuts. Everyone thinks I'm crazy.
Because you're using it's too old if it got gross already. Because like, once you wash it.
But remember, too old and it got gross already is only when it's absorbed. If it's be'en.
Could you put detergent?
Okay, so I put detergent in.
So
is the detergent really pogame it? Does it really make it that?
Yes.
So
as the towel itself would pogame it, the towel itself probably isn't like.
If you put food in your pockets and you wash your pants, would you eat what's in your pockets after?
So my kids would. My son, I probably shouldn't tell this story in public. My son recently, I saw him chewing a piece of gum. Like, where did you get it? He's like, it was in my pants pocket. I'm like, you just washed your pants. He's like, yeah. Right? Again, 12-year-old boys have a certain approach to life that is interesting. But is it really pole game? My guess is the fact that he was able to eat that gum after going through. So, the chuvos of the Sheva Takahasi, he's like a Belzer Dayan. So, in Chelek Dal and Simon Reish Tzadi, so he discusses the question of the dish towels being washed together, whether there's an Isser of Bishol Basar B'Cholov. And the Sheva Takahasi wants to say that he thinks it's all Batal B'Shishim, because there's more than 60 times water in my washing machine vis-a-vis the amount of Basar B'Cholov that I have in the thing. Now, I'm not sure that that's true, because at least the way my washing machine works, right, the water comes in gradually, and the water comes in when it's hot at the beginning. So I'm nervous that that first drop of water is going to come in and hit the two towels and cook the Basar B'Cholov together. So he has the two svaras. He says it's both a bashishim, and he says it's pogum. I'm a little bit nervous that each of these svaras doesn't fully hold water, to pardon the pun. But that's an issue. Lamaisa, everyone is make on this. Yeah.
Well, how about people's separate tablecloths for
right, so
Pesach,
you wash a milchik
over Pesach.
So do you need separate tablecloths for Pesach? I don't think so. You wash it off. Some people have them. Many people have them. Right? I don't think it's necessary. Right?
Could you do that in the same washing?
You're capturing it technically by washing it in the washing machine.
Could you wash your chametz tablecloth with your Pesach tablecloth?
Probably.
So why can't you do
There's no issue of cooking chametz and Pesach together. There's no issue of cooking basar b'chol together.
Wouldn't that transfer? Like
would it transfer the taste into? I'm not eating on the tablecloth itself.
Oh,
I eat on the plate
mark.
That's on the tablecloth.
But those are marked. You put down a hot plate.
It doesn't go through. We'll talk about those dinim, but the taste won't be transferred from my plate into my tablecloth. Ein habliyah holich mekliyul kli v'lo rotov. That
my
taste
hot
can,
soup falls on the.
If my hot soup falls on that plate. So technically, within 24 hours, if I eat off that plate, it would be that exact place where the hot soup fell, maybe there'd be an issue. But the likelihood is so rare. What's the likelihood that real chametz fell? Very unlikely. Okay, I will say, I wish everyone a good Shabbos, and we should not eat basar b'chol or pork.